Okay, so email to this effect, but just to make sure we're all on the same page for what's going on this week. Today we're going to go over what needs to be in your final reports and presentations, largely, review of the technical writing stuff. You've effectively written large chunks, most of those reports already, with your problem understanding and concept evaluation reports. So this final report, as we'll see, will shake out to be effectively a combination of those two, with hopefully lots of editing from you guys, based on our comments back. And then there's one section we'll talk about today, and I'll make sure to wake everybody up when we get to that in lecture, that you haven't written yet at all for the semester. Okay, and that is reviewing the performance of a design and how you want to discuss that in this report. So we'll talk about that today. So we'll probably end up getting out of here a little bit early today, since you guys have been working so hard this semester. And then Thursday will be pretty easy for us too. So on Thursday, we'll do our final project team evaluation, and you'll be returning your kits on Friday. Okay. So if you know you're missing something already, get in touch with me via email, and we'll try to get it replaced. Basically, we need everything back from you that we gave you, and that you signed off that you got. Okay. So if we have that, we have those forms, we'll bring those forms. On Thursday, we'll go down that list, and everything that we gave you that's on that list that you signed off you got, we need to be getting back. So if you know you're missing something, again, get in touch. If we don't get that equipment back, it's an incomplete until we do. Okay. So make sure you bring everything back. Make sure, please, get everything unplugged, all connectors that you put on things off. Basically, you want the kits, you know, in kind of raw condition, if you will. So just the motors, the wires coming off of it. You want the brackets off the linear actuator, please retract your linear actuator all the way in so it fits nicely in the box for storage. And things are ready to go for next semester. All right. Let's see. And then I'll do it for Thursday, basically. So Thursday will be a quick one as well. All right. And then next week, so a week from today, you have your final report due by 5 o'clock. And a week from Thursday, you have your final presentation due by 5 o'clock. Questions about how that schedule is going to work out, what the agenda looks like, at least. Okay. So let's do what's going to amount to effectively a review of technical communication for design reports. That's really what you're writing here. All right, so we're talking about writing. We've had the report. You have less than equal to 10 pages of text. So you have more room than you've had throughout the semester, but again, it's basically a combination of the last two you've written. Okay, so it should have effectively as much problem understanding detail as your problem understanding report, right? And as enough concept evaluation as the concept evaluation report. So it's not just concept evaluation edited; it's really those two reports put together. Like we said, that's due Tuesday, a week from today at 5 o'clock, and basically a combination. There is an outline in the handout PDF, as always. Refer to that. It's there to help you. Then your presentation, you have 10 minutes for your presentation. It's due on Thursday. And it basically follows the same format as the report, but in presentation form. Same order. You can use the same outline even. Okay. And that's due by 5, normal video lecture. Okay. For both of these, we're still getting folks, teams that are making mistakes, that are explicit points on that pre-submission checklist. That's sure way to get dinged pretty heavily at this point, making those mistakes. So please review that. Probably review that prior to starting. You know, have it open while you're writing, I would say, while you're editing your writing. Okay, it's there for your help. Please review it. Okay, questions? That all sounds good. Okay. So, when we're talking about technical documentation, we've talked the whole time that, hey, I want to or need to first identify what the purpose of the document is, okay, and then who is the primary audience. We talk about the primary audience with respect to technical competence, the expectations for the document, their language skills, interests, etc. Right? Which should sound, as we've discussed, a lot like identifying who your customers are and what they want from that particular document or presentation. So, in this context, What's the purpose of your final report? Anybody? Communicate the design. That's the main takeaway point. And what else? That's going to be actually a very small section of this report. The main point is the design. That's a small section, what happened at the contest. And we'll talk about that in much more detail coming up, about how to talk about that. Was it?
How to improve.
That falls into the same section. And that's also still kind of a small piece of this report. Yeah, so it's not just the design, it's why is that the design that you came to, or your team is recommending or chose or whatever, however you want to phrase that. Okay. So not just here's the design, it's what was the process that led to that being the design, and why is that a good design to solve this problem? Okay. And so when you think about it in that context, I need to present the design clearly enough where my audience, my reader, can understand it, right? Which is going to take more work than you think, actually, because you've worked on the thing for numerous weeks. Your reader, I haven't been working on your design. Ms. Hodge hasn't been working on our design. So things that are obvious to you may not be obvious to us because we're not living with it. We haven't lived with it like you have. Okay? So when you're editing your report, you need to make sure that it's understandable to someone who hasn't seen that design before, who hasn't been working on it. And that's a problem you'll face for the rest of your career. You're working on a project for 6 months or a year or multiple years. And you're going to have to present that information to people who have never seen it before. It's hard to back out of that understanding and try to realize and remember what they need to see to understand it from zero. So be aware of that. It's a really common mistake in this, right, where the explanation is clear to you because you've worked on it and you lived with it for a while. It's not clear to us. Yes? I didn't hear the first part of your question.
You said that you're explaining it from people that have like zero understanding.
No, they don't know your design. So your audience is me and Ms. Hodge. We have some skill. I think I'm fairly competent at this stuff, right? But I don't know your design. I don't know the details of your design, right? So that's the difference, right? And quite often that's the difference. You're presenting to engineers within your company or engineers at a conference or exhibition or something like that. You should probably assume they're competent engineers, but you have to realize they haven't lived with your problem the way that you have. So you have to get them up to speed on what's unique about this problem. Right. Okay. So, technical documentation, we're reporting basically results and accomplishments. For us, we've identified, if your final report, that's the design. Okay. We're not going to present, just as a reminder, about teams' actions or feelings. Okay, this is really common, the senior design project presentations on Friday. I encourage you guys all to go see those. They're over in the Student Center. I think there's hanging flyers around over the next day. If you can't find or haven't figured out where it's at, let me know on Thursday and I'll get you that information. Okay. Senior design teams love to do this for some reason. They talk about trial and error, and we tried this, and we worked really hard. I'm not sure where that comes from, but it's totally wrong. Okay. What you want to present is the design, is the project, as we've been talking. Okay. So when you're presenting this information, some general guidelines, and a lot of these are in that checklist, you want to maintain consistent formatting. And we do this not just because it looks better, and conveys a high-quality product as a report or presentation, but it also makes understanding and reading and getting the information easier for your reader or audience. If your fonts are all over the place and your margins are inconsistent or your slides are really busy, right, and you got all kinds of weird animations going on, you're making it harder for your reader or audience, which is the cardinal sin of an author or presenter. So, you want to maintain consistent format. Okay. We're generally going to avoid first person. First person will be more okay the better you get at writing. You can use first person without falling into telling the story of your life and avoiding chronological structure. Since we're kind of new at this, if you just avoid first person, you're going to avoid those problems too, generally. Okay. And again, senior design teams really fall into this for some reason. Okay. And make sure you're actually editing what you turn in, proofreading and editing. Okay? That really makes a difference. Okay? You can talk to my graduate students, those guys who were helping at the contest. We'll exchange papers at least 10 times back and forth. And editing, they're editing on their own, and I see it and edit it at least 10 times before we turn anything in. Kind of average. All right. So a very, very small part of writing is actually the putting the words on the page. You want to be a good writer, be a really good editor. Okay. And like we were saying, your job as a presenter or author is to make your reader's job as easy as possible to understand. Okay. Make it easy on your reader or audience. Okay. Questions about any of that? Okay. It is a team effort. Okay. Some common mistakes. Basically, every person writes a section, staple it together, we're done. Don't do that. You'll end up with an inconsistent voice, and that's one way to get inconsistent formatting, particularly if you're using Word or one of those WYSIWYG editors. They like to bring their formatting with them. Okay. You also might end up with inconsistent terminology. I've seen this in a few of the concept evaluation reports where the text is talking about something different than the figures, or things are talked about different in one section than another. That's making it harder on your reader. They're having to translate English to English to figure out what you mean. Okay. A little bit late on this one, but again, you want to avoid this where one person writes the report and then everyone else builds or whatever. Okay. Report will match. And then actually, that, again, there's a lot of clarity that comes in having to think clearly enough about a design or idea to present it to someone else. Okay. Typical technical document sections. We have an abstract or executive summary, an introduction, some main sections, conclusion, and then references. A word on this. Make sure if you're using images from our rules or images that you do not create yourself, that you are citing and referencing and have a reference section to those citations. Most of you are doing an okay job of that. Some of you are not. You're effectively plagiarizing my rules. So make sure you have citation and reference, and we have a whole slide deck from earlier in the semester about that, how to do that. Okay. Abstract. Tell me about an abstract. What does it look like? What does it have to be? Standalone summary of what's in the report. Exactly right. Okay. Think about it that way. It's a standalone document. It should stand all, but if I only see the abstract, which is quite often what happens, right, you go to a library database, you're reading abstracts. It's there by itself. Okay. So it has to stand by itself. Okay. So you're not referencing figures. You're not citing anything in the abstract. It's a summary of the report. Okay. So in that sense, it has to include a reason for the report. If I'm going to read this thing that the abstract page is linking to from the library database, what am I going to learn? What's the main takeaway point? Part of that might be presenting a high-level summary of the methods used. It summarizes key results. Okay. One thing here, and you guys are doing an okay job of this, probably could be a little bit better, is it's important that the abstract is unique to your report or that particular report. It doesn't summarize a final MECHI 201 report. It summarizes your MECHI 201 final project report. I can take your abstract, copy it, and paste it in somebody else's final report, and it still makes sense. It's too general. Okay, so that's a really common mistake here. Avoid that one. What am I going to learn from this, reading this document? Okay. So one way that yours is really unique is what are the key results? Okay. What are the key results in context of this guy? So that's a result for sure. How it operates, how you did in the competition. So what's the one takeaway point? We already said, hey, it's design. That is a key result in the context of this report. That's what you're presenting. That's the key takeaway point. So what you're presenting, when we say results, we don't necessarily mean we finished third place. The result of all this work we've been doing is the design. So 1 to 2 sentence summary of the design itself is appropriate for the introduction. The recommended or final or chosen design, whichever word you want to use, accomplished, delivered, jockeys to Churchill Downs by driving forward till it reached the downs and extending a flip arm with the LED, with the IR sensor on the end. So one sentence. And then retreated to remove the training cones, etc. So you got one or two sentence summary of how the thing works, what's the progression of how it works. Okay. And then I think driving that is probably what the key customer requirements were as you identified them. Okay. And then you might also have summary of your position in judging and final contest. Questions about the abstract? Should be a paragraph for a report of this length. Okay. So abstracts, typically paragraphs. Executive summary is where you get to a page type length or two page length. Yeah, we're doing abstracts. Okay. What's the introduction all about? Introducing, it says right in the name, right? So we're introducing the reader to the problem and kind of trying to convince them to care about it in some ways. Okay. Here's the problem we're trying to solve with the design. Here's why you should care about that problem. Okay. So we have the introduction of the problem. Often you're going to have a survey of relevant previous work. You guys don't really have that in this class. Senior design, you should have that. Right, here's a problem that exists that we're trying to, our project's working on. Here's all the ways other people try to solve it and why they're insufficient for what we want. Okay. How does that introduction end? That roadmap sentence, as I call it, yeah. Right. And you could be very explicit with that. You guys are doing an okay job with this. Something like that works great. So, in terms of your report, that includes a brief overview of the contest. Okay. That's going to include design and engineering challenges. And make sure that these are not team challenges. All right, it's a common mistake for this report. And reports, the last couple of reports, we've never built anything before, we've never written code, so this is going to be really hard. Well, that's not really an engineering challenge. That's a challenge to you and your team, but that's not a challenge to a generic engineer that would have to solve that problem. Okay. The fact that you had to travel way out into the center and have some force out there, but were constrained by a volume, that's an engineering challenge. So make sure you're discussing in the context of the problem where the design or engineering challenges associated with it. All right. For the brief overview of the contest, what do you need to include there, you think? Objective and points. Why are the points important to include?
Because it shows the importance of the individual.
Exactly right. So that establishes, that's communicating to your reader. It's that kind of ranking and the relative importance of all these tasks that we're being asked to accomplish. You don't give that to the reader, and you can give that, makes sense to do it right here, they're going to be a little bit lost. They're not understanding the problem clearly enough to understand how you got to your final design then, if you don't communicate that information. Yeah. Then, of course, key rules. And those things drive right into the engineering characteristics. I mean, engineering challenges, sorry. Questions about the introduction? Okay. So, we have main sections of the report. For design reports like you're writing, the section two of your final report better be, this is the final design, the chosen design, recommended design, however you want to word it. Okay. You want to start at the high level and then drill down the details. Okay. And then you're going to have subsequent sections, section 3, section 4, to support your decision to choose or recommend that design. Okay. If you're talking about kind of a method or a theory paper, like most of what I write, you're kind of working a little bit the other way. Okay. So for you, we have that. So section 2, we said, is the final design section. You're going to present how the final design works, again, starting at a high level and working in more detail. Do we do any evaluation of this final design in this section? No, there's no pro and cons discussion. There's no strengths and weaknesses that belong here. This is just how what it is and how it works. Okay? So no pro con discussion there. Okay. You guys are going to need figures. Okay. Make sure that you're labeling parts according to their function. What is that part doing? Not what is it? Yes.
How detailed do we have to be since we have an actual physical design now? Like, how detailed the level do we need to go?
So the question, how much detail do I need when I'm explaining my final design? There needs to be enough detail there so your reader can understand how it would work. That's the main measure of this. This design report is really a kind of conceptual design. You're delivering a conceptual design and idea. Right? It's not a detailed design report where you would identify and do real analysis on we did FEA on this part and determine the loads were okay and those kind of things, which you get to in senior design. Right? So what's important here is how the thing works. Okay? What are the kind of steps? How's it going to function? So along those lines, that's where you label parts according to function, not what bolt size they might be or what exactly motor model it is or something like that, which you might would get to in a detailed design report. The drawings you're doing, right, are not production drawings. You're not delivering that figure to a machine shop to build the thing for you. It's to communicate how this kind of idea actually functions and works. Okay. You do, though, have to have enough dimensions on it to give it scale. If you don't have any dimensions on a thing, is it 3 centimeters or 3 meters? There's no way to know. So enough dimensions to give it scale. We're going to use figures. A really nice way to do this, I think, is to have your overview figure that has your major subsystems labeled on it, and then individual views of each major subsystem as necessary. Okay? And it can be the exact same drawing, just a different view of it. Or zoomed a different way. Okay. It's a really common way to present this. Here's the high level. Here are the subfunctions. Okay, now here's each subfunction broken out and explained. Okay. Starting at the high level, what are the subfunctions, how they link together, then to the details. How does each one of those smaller things work? Okay. Questions about that? More questions about that? Following, you said, okay, introduction says here's the problem we're trying to solve. Section 2, here's our solution. Here's the solution to that problem. Okay. Section 3, which is our problem understanding, you start to explain, well, okay, why is that a good solution? Why are we recommending this to you? Why did we choose this final design to compete in this contest? Okay. The first part of that is problem understanding. Again, it's providing support for your choice or recommendation of final design. Okay. And in that, you need to introduce and explain what are the key customer requirements, what are the key specifications, what functionality must that final design have. That should sound very much like talking through those design tools. We talked about the utility of the design tools. One is in thinking really clearly about filling them out when you're doing them, but then also they're a nice, concise way to communicate that information to your audience as well. In each of these design tools, you need to explain what's most important in that design tool for your design that led to your chosen design. Okay, so what's most important and why? That's information that you have that even a competent engineer doesn't have because they haven't seen your design. They haven't been part of your project for some time. So you need to teach me how you got from your customer requirements, let's say, to what you thought were most important, from the kind of generic list of customer requirements to what you thought was most important and drove your design in the direction it ended up going. Okay? Teach your reader that. Okay? That's information, that's expertise that you have in the context of your project that your reader or audience doesn't necessarily have. Okay? So, common mistakes here are just to point out example things that aren't necessarily most important. Point out what's most important, what's driving this design process. Okay? Other common mistake is just to list everything that's in the table. Well, that doesn't do any good either. If you give me everything, I've lost what's important. Okay? You know, point out what's important and why it's important. Okay? Questions about that section? Yes, sir.
Could some of our customer requirements be So, like, that's part of the thing that helped drive my design. So is that a okay thing to cite in this section, saying that part of the design stems from the type of motors and the layout of the motors that were given?
Sure.
I include that in the house of law.
So I think that's possible. So, you know, certainly in the house of quality, you have customer requirements, use the components you've been given. I think the exact details of the motors might make sense, more sense in a spec sheet, though. Okay, using the components given means we have one large DC motor, one small DC motor, linear actuator, use less than or equal to one linear actuator, use less than or equal to one IR sensor, right? Use less than or equal to one Mecki 201 board, right? And okay, this becomes a really important specification because other questions. Okay. So introduction introduces the problem. Then section two, your final design. Here's the solution to that. You start supporting it. Now your customer hopefully or your reader hopefully understands the problem in the same way that you do after reading this section. You've convinced them that the customer requirements you identified as most important are the ones that are actually most important. The specs you identified are the most important are the ones that are actually most important in this problem. Same thing for functions. Now what we do is introduce some alternative concepts. Okay? And the idea about introducing these alternative concepts is to present them as further support why the design you're presenting, recommending or choosing, is the best one to solve this problem. Okay? In terms of this class, you need at least two other viable, true alternatives. And then you have to support your selection, recommendation of your design over those alternatives. Yes, sir?
So what if there's a case where there's a clear design that is better than yours, however, costs three times as much? Like, how would you analyze that in design?
Okay. Like, so, hang on to that question for 1 second, okay. And we'll get there. So, the first thing you're going to do is introduce the alternative concepts, and then we're going to evaluate them. In introduction to the alternatives, you have to make sure that they are true alternatives. Okay. Exactly the same design with tracks versus wheels seems like not true alternatives. That's a variation on the same design. Okay. This exact same design, but it's purple instead of blue, is the same design. It's just a variation of the same design. They're different ideas, different concepts. Okay. You have to provide, just like the final design, enough detail for your reader to be able to understand how the thing would work. There can be less detail here than the final design, but there still has to be enough. The bar you have to get over is, can your reader understand how the thing would work? Okay? Which means, of course, you're going to have figures of those designs as well in that section. Okay? And no pro and con discussion comes during the introduction of the concepts. Still some folks, I think a number of people did this in the concept evaluation report. Once you've introduced the alternatives, maybe one of them is 3x expensive, okay, that should show up in the evaluation, right? You're going to include the chosen design in this evaluation, and you're going to reference the evaluation matrix. Right? So you have in your evaluation matrix a customer requirement probably that the design costs less than $100. Right? And you may have a separate customer requirement the design is low cost below that. So when you're referencing the evaluation matrix, this design got a low score here at the customer requirement of being less than, you know, much less than $100. So that led to it not being selected because, you know, you can see that propagated through the evaluation matrix. Okay. The key point there is that what you're saying and the reasons you're saying your design or that you're recommending or chose was the best one better show up there. And you better point them out. And that really kind of breaks down to the main idea of this section, is you should be able to point to that evaluation matrix, and it will take more than this to really do it. But the main idea is, hey, look at this evaluation matrix that has all our customer requirements in the three designs. Okay? And you see the design we're recommending or chose, right? It's really good at A, B, and C, even though it's not so good at X, Y, and Z. And by the time your reader gets here, they understand, hopefully, if you've done your job as an author, that A, B, and C are really important things, And X, Y, and Z maybe aren't so important. So they follow along with this evaluation. What you really want in this document or this presentation is kind of your reader, by the time you get to this point, your readers are nodding along with you. Yeah, that's right. They picked the right one. They're recommending the right design. You've explained the problem to them. Hopefully they understand the customer and the constraints on the design as you've presented them. They reach the same conclusion. It's what you really want. That help, that answer for you? Yeah. Okay. Other questions about this section? Okay. So, wake up. This is the one section you haven't presented yet. I haven't written yet. It's a design performance evaluation. Okay? And it's evaluation and analysis of the design performance. It's not a play-by-play. Okay? So you need to summarize the contest results along with the judging results. They are part of the contest, so it's a really common mistake here. People leave off the judging for some reason. And what you're trying to do, and the reason this is not really a play-by-play, is you're trying to evaluate the design and the design process. Not just how did we win today, but what is the data that you gathered last Thursday tell you about your process and the design? Okay. So in that context, what you're really looking for is what assumptions during the design process, what specs that you identify, what functionality that you determined your design had to have, what of that did you get right, what of that did you get wrong? Okay. So in our prioritization matrix, or you know, we saw in our house of quality, as a result of prioritization matrix, we saw that gathering the lucky horseshoes was going to be really important for the final design. It turned out not to matter that much. Nobody went for them, basically. Right? So if you have put everything into getting those horseshoes, right, and then saw at the final contest that didn't work out for you, that's an assumption that you made during the process that was possibly incorrect. So that's what you want to look for in the thing. Right? So not just how you finished or we got unlucky in the cord came unplugged or something. That doesn't tell your reader anything about the design. Okay? Which that's what you want to communicate. You have some data, you have effectively a prototype of your idea that you've tested. Communicate to your reader, your audience, how that informs moving forward effectively. Okay? So what about those assumptions? Did you get right or wrong? And if you got stuff wrong, how would getting that right now change the design you're recommending? Okay. To flip around what I was just saying, hey, we got to the contest, and it seems like nobody was going for those horseshoes. We could have gotten them easily and had a big advantage over everybody. So if we'd done that, we would have to extend these arms this way or that way, and it would change the resulting final design. Okay. But those extra points could have helped us advance farther than we did or something to that effect. In doing this analysis, you have design tools and tables in your report that neatly summarize all this stuff. Reference them. Okay. So you're referencing back to table 1 or 2. Right? As seen in the House of Quality in table 1, high importance was placed on blah, blah, blah. At the final contest, it was seen that didn't matter or whatever. You have it. It's there. Nicely summarized. Reference those things. Okay? And the key point here, I'm going to make it even more explicit, is you want to separate out the design from your implementation of the design or luck on contest day. Okay? If you didn't do well, is the actual design flawed in some way? Or did you just get unlucky? Okay? If you did really well, but you think you got lucky, that doesn't necessarily mean the design is a success and is a really good design. So effectively what you're trying to do here, again, is talk about the design. the idea, the concept, in the context of all the, you have more data, more knowledge about this contest and this design problem now than you ever have throughout the rest of the semester. Use that to go back and look at your tools. Okay, what was right and wrong about that? And then how does that affect everything downstream? Okay, questions about that section? Yes, sir. Yeah, you have a whole body of data. You have a lot of data from the contest, right? You saw other teams that were successful tended to do this. Well, we thought that wasn't going to be important, so we got that part wrong. And then as a result, if we had gotten that right back in, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, the design would have changed in this way. Yes?
So is this a section where you might use a little bit more first person?
You want to try to still get out of first person, you know, to avoid it if you can. So it's not, you have a little bit of flexibility here, but it still shouldn't be, we did it this way and we thought that. It shouldn't be about you, right? So that's the difference, right? It is about you and that you're talking about assumptions you made, but you don't want the focus of that to be you, if that makes sense. Yeah. A little bit. I mean, I think, you know, like was trying to use the language, you know, as seen in the house quality in table one, the most important customer requirement identified was, however, at the final contest, 6 of the top 8 teams ignored that point category in total, suggesting that that should not have been as highly weighted as it was. So yeah, you're kind of backing out and you're there still because you're the one that did all that stuff, but it's not about you. It's about the customer requirement, how it changed. Or should have possibly changed or been different. And same thing about the judging results. We weighted aesthetics really low in our house of quality. Again, not saying we. And then, therefore, the judges dinged us for it. Okay. Probably should have paid more attention or something. Other questions about this section? This is the one you guys haven't done yet. Okay. What's the conclusion do for you? Summarize what's in the report. It's very abstract-like and summarizes what was presented in the report. Shouldn't be any new information in the thing. And basically, again, very abstract-like. So you're going to reiterate the reason for the report, okay? Present a high-level summary of the methods used, and include key results. And again, it should be unique to the report that it concludes. You shouldn't be able to grab your conclusion and drop it in somebody else's report, and it still makes sense. Yeah. So again, very abstract-like, so much so that you can copy and paste those points, generally. Few more reminders. Still making mistakes here. You want to avoid parenthetical citation of figures, right? You want to use phrases as seen in figure X, shown in figure X, sketched in figure 4. Okay? Present things as fact. Again, not we believe or we found. It's the most important customer requirement is. Think about the tools and what's contained in them as data. It's when we get around kind of beliefs in them. Okay? Make sure you're pointing out, we've addressed this once already, make sure what you're pointing out in every tool, in every design, what's most important. Same thing when you're writing about the designs themselves. Okay. One thing is, take your figure labels, use those exact words in the text. Okay. Make sure you're not referencing other designs to explain your current one. This is exactly like the chosen alternative except. Because then you're dependent upon the person remembering the chosen design and understanding it correctly. So present each one independently. Final presentations, they're going to follow the same order as the report, effectively. Okay. Those big ta-da moments don't usually work, unless your audience is knowing it's coming up, effectively. Okay. Design tools in the report and the presentation follow basically the same thing, but you will likely need a presentation version. If you've done your job on a house of quality or spec sheet, it's not going to fit on a slide in a way that anybody's going to be able to read it. Okay. So here's one that's a Gantt chart, smallest Gantt chart. But even that's a lot of information for a single slide. Right. So if I'm presenting that, I'm going to zoom in on what's important right now. And furthermore, I'm probably going to highlight it as I'm discussing it. So I took that big chart and focused down on what's the most important. So for example, your house of quality, you might have four or five customer requirements you've deemed are most important. You can have a presentation version of the house of quality that just has those in it. Four or five most important customer requirements, four or five most important engineering characteristics. And now you have a house of quality that can kind of fit on a slide and is readable. Same thing for spec sheet, function tree, those things. Okay. And went through the slide before. I'll let you guys. Basically, you don't want this many words on any of your slides. It's one of the key points. You don't want gratuitous animation. And particularly for this final one, I think you want to practice your presentation a few times and or edit your video, your voiceover when you do it. Okay. And then finally, let your audience know when you're finished. I usually end just like this. Thank you for your time. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have now if it's a live presentation. So, questions about how that's going to shake out, how it should shake out. Oh, sorry.
When are we going to be getting our
last? They'll be one back today. So, in the email, I was a little bit, got pulled away out of my office this afternoon, so I couldn't get back to you, but we'll get them back in the next couple hours, yeah.
Are we commenting on these final?
No commenting on these. So, Ms. Hodge and I take a look at them, and basically looking at the same things we'll look at in the final report, basically. Yes.
Are we going to be able to see the grade back from these like sometime during December?
Yeah, we'll email back the final ones too. So we'll put final report and presentation and bounce them back to you when we get them graded. If you haven't seen, like I think I linked it in the email, the results, both contest and judging results are on the class page. That email had linked to our Flickr album that has, I think, a little over 100 pictures from final contest day there for you. They should all be public, so you can download the full resolution version if you want for any of those. Other questions? Okay, so Thursday, make sure you bring your stuff with you. If you're missing something, get in touch with me. Let me know now so we can start getting that rectified so you don't end up with an incomplete. If you don't have stuff, you're going to have an incomplete until it's making its way to me at minimum. All right? And we'll do our final team evaluation on Thursday as well. Sound good? Cool. Thanks.